is a crime, but the lives are one. How can one little street swallow so many lives? Chance is thrown, nothing's free. Longing for used to be, still it's hard.
Well, a good Thursday afternoon. Locker, are you ready for a big announcement from the Canadian Football League tonight?
Do we know for sure they're announcing the halftime show?
No, because Okay. Here's the wording. Tune in to eTalk at 7 p.m. Eastern, 5 o'clock Saskatchewan time, for an exclusive update on the lineup for the 112th Grey Cup, eye emojis, music symbol. Football. I'd imagine that would be the Grey Cup halftime show.
Yeah.
But are they announcing like a lineup like it was in Saskatchewan? Jordan Davis, Josh Ross.
So they rolled out three
the better
or four
half
acts.
Of Georgia, Florida, Georgia line.
Yeah. Okay.
I only know Tyler Hubbard. I don't know who the other person is. So maybe it's not the better half. But
so are you?
I hope it's Offspring now. Now that I heard Offspring, I'm like, that'd be fun. Green Day was way better than that. That was my favorite halftime show of all time in Hamilton watching Green Day. But if it was that an act that big, I imagine they would have announced it by now.
Yeah. The one thing that I keep thinking about with respect to this happening in Winnipeg, that province, that city is quite proud of its musical roots. And if they're hosting a Grey Cup, I've sort of wrapped my head around the... I've been joking about Trooper reuniting and doing it, but I've always sort of at the back of my mind thought, you know, like the Guess Who or like a band.
Well, Burton Cummings and Randy Bachman have done it like three times already. The last time it was in Winnipeg, Manitoba, I believe it was Fallout Boy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's how much my memory...
And how
that was Fallout. Boy.
How they wrap, like the thought process behind, how they build these shows is like it's past me now. Like, you know, look at the Super Bowl. They are not trying to target Locker.
No. They're trying to attract a younger audience. And if
so
they want to attract if they really want to attract a younger audience,
it's not going to be Offspring.
They have to go with Huntrix. That's the group you bring in.
I don't even know what you are talking about.
Huntrix.
I have no idea, and I'm actually proud of myself that I don't know what you're talking about.
All parents would know them better as the group behind K-pop Demon Hunters.
Okay, good. I know what I'm doing tonight.
Don't. You're watching baseball.
And now, the starting lineup.
I'm watching K-pop Huntress, Demon Hunters.
Locker.
What?
It's K-pop Demon Hunters.
K-pop Demon. Let me write that down.
Yeah, K-pop Demon
K-pop.
Hunters. The group is Huntrix.
Demon Hunters is a show?
K-pop Demon Hunters is a show. Huntrix is the musical group.
Wow,
there you go.
Sounds riveting.
If they want a younger audience, and I'm talking anybody under the age of 13, there's your go-to for the Grey Cup halftime show. But let's get to the top sports headlines. The bats for the Jays are alive!
Robles going back! It's gone! Here's George Springer. It's gone! Gone! Kirk hits one to the opposite field. It is gone!
This one, that'll get him gone.
Look at this one go. Way back into the seats.
Oh, yeah.
And another one.
Five home runs. He had Springer. He had Guerrero. Alejandro Kirk with a three-run shot. Addison Barger got in on the fun. Bieber, after a little bit of a questionable first inning, settled in, and it was a great six innings
his
from
MO.
Shane Bieber.
Bieber comes out, has a rough start, and then locks it down, and then goes.
So now, tonight, Max Scherzer gets the ball for the Toronto Blue Jays. Luis Castillo goes for the Seattle Mariners. So we'll see what happens tonight. Scherzer's 41 years old, just a couple of strikeouts away from passing Roger Clemens for the fifth most in playoff history in baseball. That is a 6:33 start time, Saskatchewan time tonight, game number four. Of course, you got the Brewers and the Dodgers game three tonight. That is a 4:08 first pitch.
Okay, we'll move over to CFL. The Riders depth chart had some changes.
Man, it's awesome. Yeah, it's been a great year for us, obviously, and to be in a position where we are now, grant some opportunities for guys on our team to show who they are and to continue to build momentum going into this playoff run is something that you don't get every year in the CFL.
Jake Mayer, obviously, he'll get the ball. Trevor Harris is going to get a rest. Some starters that are also resting tomorrow night, along with Trevor Harris, Micah Johnson, A.J. Ouellette, and yes, Brett will be kicking. It looks like he'll be kicking in Winnipeg. We got the Green Zone pregame show starting at 4 o'clock, and then the game starts at 6 o'clock. Don't count out this Riders squad, even with some of the starters and the vets on the team getting a bit of a break as we head into the playoffs.
Well, the thing is, the guys who are filling in have all started games already this season because they've had injuries and guys have been in and out. So
it's not going to be an unrecognizable squad, as Jamie has been saying here the last couple of days.
Not at all. Meanwhile, tonight, Thursday Night Football in the NFL, they're calling it the Icy Hot Bowl.
Rodgers, timing route to the end zone. Touchdown!
Five-man rush. Flacco to the air and caught!
41-year-old Aaron Rodgers starting for the 4-1 Pittsburgh Steelers, and 40-year-old Joe Flacco, of course, traded over from Cleveland, will start for the Cincinnati Bengals tonight. The Bengals are actually second in the AFC North, trying to get some consistency at quarterback, but the Steelers leading the charge there. 6:15 is the start time on Thursday Night Football. This one's for the 40-year-olds out there. With the starting quarterbacks tonight.
The vintage QB vendetta, Father Time's turf war, balding ballers bash. Do you like any of those?
Joe Flacco's not bald, either is Aaron Rodgers.
Over the hill Armageddon, Rodgers and Flacco's rocking chair rival. No, you don't like any of those. All right, six games.
It's the Icy Hot Bowl, Locker. That's what we're doing. Robaxa Set Bowl.
Six of seven Canadian teams hit the ice in the NHL tonight.
The Oilers clear, and McDavid's got a chance against Fox, and a quick wrist shot stopped by Shesterkin.
Three goals, no goals. Three games, no goals. He's broken.
Nah, it's all over.
Overrated hack. Connor McDavid doesn't have a goal yet.
Okay, so if you're paying attention to the Oilers tonight, that's a 5:30 start. They're in the Long Island taking on the Islanders. You got the Kraken in Ottawa taking on the Sens without Brady. I think he's got to have surgery.
Well, they're talking. It was 4 weeks. Now it's like 2 months.
Yeah.
Maybe with. So maybe they shouldn't have got the second opinion. It got longer for his departure.
Worse. Jets and Flyers. We got Rangers in Toronto taking on the Leafs. The Preds in Montreal taking on the Habs. And the Canucks are in Dallas taking on the Stars. So busy night in the NHL.
And, of course, some other big news in the NHL as Carter Hart is back in the league.
Point shot, Larson saved. Reba to the side of the Everly. Stopped by a diving Hart. It's still loose. Flyers get to it. Carter Hart, spectacular stop there as the crowd.
Yes, Carter Hart, of course, one of the members of the 2018 World Junior Team acquitted of sexual assault, is the first to sign an NHL deal. The Vegas Golden Knights signing Carter Hart to a professional tryout contract. He's been out of the league, of course, since early 2004, or 2024, when those charges were laid 2 years ago. The Golden Knights said in a statement that they are aligned with the process and the assessment the NHL and the NHLPA made in their decision. We remain committed to the core values that have defined our organization from its inception and expect that our players will continue to meet these standards moving forward. So here's the timeline for Carter Hart's professional tryout contract. He can practice with the team, and he was doing so today. He can play in the American Hockey League for conditioning starting November the 15th. And if they want to put him on the NHL roster, that happens December the 1st. That is the timeline for Carter Hart. He is the first to be signed back in the NHL since the five players were acquitted of sexual assault from that 2018 scandal that broke out a few years ago. Michael McLeod was rumored to be signing with the Carolina Hurricanes. They opted not to. He signed, of course, with the KHL. Still, Dylan Alex Formanton was out of the league. Cal Foote and Dylan Dubé awaiting what happens with their hockey careers.
In my opinion, and I don't think anybody cares about what my opinion is, bad look, mistake on the part of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I imagine that everybody would have the same opinion on, not everybody. Many would say, I hope my team doesn't sign them.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, and we looked into this yesterday, that there is something to this. Apparently, there was a reporter that was sniffing around the Vegas Golden Knights, asking questions and asking players.
He wasn't sniffing around. It was, Chris Johnston reported that he was going to sign in Vegas, so Mark Lazarus of the Athletic showed up. And
they kicked him out.
Asked a guy in the room saying,
That's bad.
That's a bad look. Asked a guy in the room saying, what if this is rumored Carter Hart's coming in here? And all of a sudden, his press credentials got yanked. He got told he's not welcome to cover the game. They said he blindsided the players. Blindsided? Chris Johnston reported it on his podcast.
That's a bad look. Bad look for that team. I think it's a bit of a black mark in my opinion for the anyway.
Well, Drew Romano will weigh in as well. Carter Hart signs with the Vegas Golden Knights on a professional tryout agreement. Now, coming up here on the Green Zone, there are superstitions, and then there are superstitions that go too far. We are going to ask you a question. Is Wheels from Z99 C95 disgusting, or is he just a good fan keeping it real by wearing the same jersey for about, I think it's the eighth consecutive day he's been wearing this Blue Jays jersey? It's starting to smell. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the air of the Green Zone. Not unlike us to pick on Wheels of Z99 and C95 as he...
It's just deserved.
As he trounces into the Green Zone Lounge for the seventh straight day wearing the same Blue Jays jersey.
And you can go vote on this on Twitter. Jamie Nye is the poll where we put it up. And totally gross or totally normal.
Okay, Locker, are you troubled by this? This is day three.
Yeah.
Day three of Wheels wearing this red Blue Jays jersey.
Well, and he wore it last week, and I'm guessing that this is not something that you wash on a regular basis.
Of course not, you guys. It's a good luck jersey. If you watched the Blue Jays game last night, the hat and the jersey were in full force. Why are you looking at me like I've got three eyes? This is a thing. You know this when it comes to sports. There are good luck charms. I am doing my part. Yeah, it does sting a little bit.
Yeah.
It's, that's what happens.
You need to, like, put it in the closet and let it air out for a couple of days.
No, keep it away from other clothes. What are your coworkers saying?
They're saying thank you, Wheels.
No, they are not.
For helping the Blue Jays, one, win a game in Seattle, and hopefully two more.
Really appreciate the dedication. It just, like, at some point, you're going to need to wash it. No?
Yes, I will. After the parade, you guys, you wash it, you refresh a brand new season, or you retire it. Right? You just hang it, frame it, and get a new one. Start over again.
The question is this.
That hat's seen better days, too.
Yeah. It's day three. Probably wore it all weekend, even last week. So this is multiple days of he's been in this jersey. Is this totally gross or totally normal? That's the question. Totally gross?
Gross. There's no question.
I can smell you right now.
I told
Wheels.
You. It's not...
My eyes are watering.
I am suffering for a cause, you guys. I am doing my part.
No, you're...
Show Locker the poll.
Causing suffering.
Look at the poll results.
Totally normal?
79% saying totally normal right now.
All right, I got to go vote on that. That's not right.
At Jamie and I, you can vote totally normal or totally gross. Wheels in day... I've lost count how many times he's worn this jersey.
Hey, boys, go
Put
Jays,
a couple
go.
Of bounce sheets in your
if
pocket.
If Max Scherzer pitches a gem tonight, you got me to thank.
Get out of the studio, you reek.
Yeah, I leave the door open, too, so we can air it out in here. There's Wheels. You can vote now.
Is what Wheels do? Is this totally normal? You have no problem. Well, you don't work with them. We work with them. But when he walked, oh my goodness. I was like, Wheels, you smell, man, with the same jersey. Wash it. Is it totally gross? Totally normal? So far, the majority is ruling inside on Wheels' side that this is normal fandom behavior. You think it'll be AC/DC for the Grey Cup halftime show?
No.
Okay. You want to think about that any longer than the time you gave that?
It's not going to be AC/DC.
Okay.
I can guarantee that.
You want to put it on the board that it's not going to be AC/DC? Want to put anything on the line?
I will put it on the board.
Okay. The CFL says ETOC tonight, 5 o'clock Saskatchewan time. Is
right there. There's why it's not AC/DC.
It's on ETOC at 5 o'clock Saskatchewan time. Yeah, okay. So that is going. They say the announcement of the lineup for the 112th Grey Cup. They don't say halftime show, but everybody's just assuming it's going to be the halftime
show. Maybe it's a variety show.
Like a marching band.
Juggler. Dogs.
Can we get the flipping snowmobiles back like we had in Saskatchewan in 2013? Those were fun.
Monkeys.
Just.
Yeah.
A little bit of a circus goes on at halftime. We'll keep you up to date. 5 o'clock. We'll let you know what they announce on ETOC for the lineup of the 112th Grey Cup. Of course, playoff football in the Canadian Football League right around the corner. Same with U Sports. This weekend, high school football playoffs begin, as do junior football playoffs. And, of course, the Thunder and the Hilltops are 1-2 in the PFC. The Thunder, the number one ranked team, take on the Edmonton Huskies on a Sunday in the semifinal in Regina. Kenton Effa is a linebacker for the Thunder, leads the team in tackles, also is a practice roster player for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as well. And Kenton, welcome to the Green Zone. What's it like? What's the attitude of this team going up against a team? I'll just say it. You've been able to take care of in the first couple of weeks of the season.
Honestly, just staying hungry and avoiding complacency and just trying to get better every day. Like, the Edmonton Huskies are a very good football team. In week one, we were actually losing at halftime. So, like, it's a team that's very physical, O-line, pretty damn good defense. So we just got to stay hungry, keep working, and just get better every day, have three great practices, and it's a playoff game. So we're pretty fired up and ready to go.
Are those practices taking on a different intensity right now, just based on what you guys are leading up to?
Yeah, absolutely. The stakes are obviously higher now that we're into playoffs, so it's time to turn it up a notch, right? Everything we do, from indie time to our team periods, we've got to have another level of focus and be dialed in on the opponent.
Is there a little burr in the saddle, so to speak, with the loss in the national semifinal last year to help motivation, or is that in the past? Don't worry about it.
No, yeah, I think about that often, right? I was on the 2022 team when we played in the national championship as well, losing to Okanagan. So I've used that through the off season and through the season as well. That's something that definitely is always in the back of my head and makes me dig and reach a little bit harder. So, like, if we have an opportunity to play those guys again, want to be ready and ready to go.
Let's talk a little bit, Kenton, about your involvement with the Rough Riders. Speak to that. How important is that for the development of your game?
Oh, it's been an amazing opportunity. But it's been pretty amazing. Like, you can spend almost all of your your job is football, right? Like, you're pretty much living the life of a professional athlete. So and then also the resources that the Riders provide for recovery and nutrition and like weightlifting and stuff like that, it just totally elevates it just like, if you can put in the work, it definitely has elevated my my recovery and everything like that. And then also mentally, the coaching staff with the riders has been great, coaching me up, teaching me new techniques and like ways to get off blocks, tackling, all sorts of stuff that you can you can pick and add into your game. And then lastly, I would say like some of the guys in the linebacker room on the riders for sure have like kind of taken me under their wing and definitely taught me some tricks and some stuff I can add into my game.
Kenton Effin joining us, the Regina Thunderstar linebacker, leads the team in tackles, getting ready for the playoffs. Also a practice roster player with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Go through a typical day for you when you're doing double duty with the Riders and the Thunder. It's almost football 24/7 outside of sleep, right?
Don't leave out the meals, too.
Yeah, well, you get fed, too. Taco Tuesday the other day, I think, is a common day for the Riders. What's a common day look like?
It's pretty awesome. I come in at about, I try to get there at 7 and do some mobility, stretching, or get in the tub, something just to get me recovered for the Riders practice. And then we've got linebacker meetings starting at 8 o'clock. And then, yeah, I get some breakfast after that and get ready for team meetings at 9. And then at about 10:20, we head out to practice until about 1 and come in, eat some lunch, have some more meetings, watch the film from practice. And then after that, it's a good chance to get back in those hot tub, cold tub, and recover from my Thunder practice. And then once you're done that, I start to like watch the Thunder film and prepare for our game with the Thunder. So yeah, we've got meetings for Thunder at 6 o'clock. So we watch film from 6 to 7 and then practice 7 to 9. And then after practice with the Thunder, usually with Coach Dawson, we'll watch our defensive film. So end at about 10 o'clock usually, but sometimes he likes to go a little less. It's quite a bit of football, but like, to be honest, it's been a dream of mine my whole life to get a opportunity with a professional team. So I've just been really making the most of it and just enjoying every second of it. It is a grind, but at the end of the day, I just try to be thankful for where I am and just try and enjoy every day, make the most out of it.
So we talk a lot about Corey Mace and the culture he's built with the Rough Riders, Ken, on the Green Zone. And we do know Scott, we've talked to him multiple times on the show as well. So we've got a good sense of who these two individuals are. Are there similarities between Corey Mace and Scott McCauley and their approach to the game and coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. I think both of them, I put a very big emphasis on the players living up to the standard of the organization, and they both really emphasize that winning is not easy. Like going 1-0 every week is not easy. So in order to do that, the only way you can do it is to put in the work each and every day, right? So I think both of them are very process driven and really like emphasize like being where your feet are and putting in the work each and every day, and it'll stack those days up and it'll lead to great things.
What's it like to the picture taken after the game with Stephen Smith, of course, now of the Argos? What's it like to have him as an example on, you know, doing double duty and getting that pro opportunity and making that jump to junior to pro?
Yeah, no, I've played with Stephen for 4 years, so we're pretty close, and like obviously last year I was watching him experience the same type of things that I'm doing right now. And I think I learned a lot watching what he did, because he was obviously very successful in signing with the Toronto Argonauts, and seeing the type of hours and dedication he put in. And that really, I think, motivated me. And like, I guess like him, Logan Ferland, guys, they show that it is possible to make that jump, or also like just use the opportunity to develop yourself as a football player and move forward. It's pretty cool. Proud of Steven and really excited for him.
And Ken, the beautiful thing about football in Canada is weather. And you'll see it through the course of a season. You had some snow there in the last game and some interesting adjustments. So are you guys ready? Are the Thunder ready for playoff football weather?
Absolutely. I honestly think with the Thunder, the weather benefits us as a team because I would say the strength of our offense is ground and pound, running the ball. And when the elements get pretty crazy, that's what you got to do, right, with that big old line we have. And then on defense, I think we pride ourselves on stopping the run. And honestly, like I just love the cold weather being a Saskatchewan guy. Like when I was in high school, played in a provincial championship in the snow. And I've always found when the cold weather comes out, that's my favorite time of the year.
Playing. Game on.
Okay, well, what was it like when Caleb scored the touchdown? Like, take us to the bench when your O-line, the big boys, getting in there for a TD.
Yeah, that was awesome. I kind of had an idea. Like, there was buzz on the sideline. They're like, they're calling the tackle pass. Like, everyone was getting all juiced up. Someone told everyone on the sideline. So we had all the guys watching, and then they threw him that screen, and everyone went crazy. And then I'm on the field goal team, so I got to run onto the field and celebrate them watching do some snow angels in the snow. It was pretty special moment.
Did the Riders play that film for the group? Did the O-line, do you know if the O-line meeting said, hey, our boy Caleb, he also practices with the Riders, our boy scored a big man tutty.
Yeah, no, they didn't show it in the team meeting, but I'm sure they had it up in that O-line room.
Yeah, right on, Kenton. Thanks for the chat today. Best of luck this weekend against the Huskies.
Yeah, thank you. Good to talk to you.
That is Kenton F., star linebacker of the Regina.
He was awesome.
Thunder, as they get going on Sunday against the Huskies. Hilltops also in action. Sarge, Tom Sargent, the head coach, will join us tomorrow to talk about the Hilltops getting after it for a semifinal weekend in the Prairie Football Conference. Of course, the PFC champions will host the national championship. So
nice.
It'll be an interesting PFC final if it indeed is what we expect it to be, which is the Hilltops and the Thunder yet again.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers, 41. Joe Flacco, 40. This is not the first time Jamie Nye, the two quarterbacks in their 40s, have faced off in the NFL. In fact, it has happened three times in NFL history.
I'm going to go Breeze, Brady, Breeze, I don't know, Peyton, Manning?
No. You got one.
Breeze, Brady?
You got two.
Is it a Rodgers one again?
No.
Okay. What am I missing?
It's Breeze Brady.
Yeah.
Breeze Brady.
And Breeze Brady?
Breeze Brady. In 2020.
I should have known when he said you got two. I'm like, oh, it's just those guys three times. Okay. Rodgers, Flacco will make it a fourth tonight on the Icy Hot Bowl for the Steelers and the Bengals. Coming up next, Aaron Boone might not be loved right now in New York, but I can tell you 22 years ago, he didn't have to buy a drink. We'll remember some baseball playoff history next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Is this a big business? Ebridge Farm remembers.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
Who's fucking everybody scores?
On this day in sports history, let's just start. I'm just going to preface this. Locker, have you talked to your future son-in-law, Craig, the Yankees fan, since the Jays eliminated them from the playoffs at all?
He has avoided conversation with the Fan Jam group.
What do you think his opinion of Aaron Boone is today?
That's a good question.
Because I imagine there's a lot of New Yorkers who...
What did you you said Aaron something Boone. About his appearance to me that was so spot on, and now I cannot. Are you comfortable sharing what you said?
Yeah, he's clearly one of the actors who was in The Hobbit. That is
no. You said he is
a collection of all of the characters in The Hobbit.
Yeah, in The Hobbit.
I cannot not see that now when I see him. He does look like he looks like he could be an extra in Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely, he could have.
I don't know. I'll send Craig a note and said, hey, thoughts
he
on
looks
Aaron
like
Boone.
Gollum before like he turned evil.
Yes.
Like,
that's, yes.
He looks like that character in The Hobbit.
Where the ring really distorted his features.
Exactly.
Yeah, where he was fighting his cousin on the banks of the river.
There you go.
When they found the ring.
That's the character right there, Aaron Boone. So right now, probably not a big fan of New Yorkers is Aaron Boone, but 22 years ago on this day in sports, he was the best Yankee.
Leading by three as Boone hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Game seven against the Boston Red Sox, and Aaron Boone hits one of the rare walk-off home runs. 22 years ago, 2003 is when Aaron Boone hit that home run to put the Yankees past the Red Sox and into the World Series.